Welcome to Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program. My name is John Lovering. It's my pleasure to be your host for Heirloom Radio and to be able to share my 30-year collection of the Golden Age of Radio shows. I have an excellent program for you from the series known as Cloak and Dagger, which seems to be quite popular with listeners of the podcast, and so I'm putting up another episode. This series was broadcast on NBC from May to October of 1950. It was aired on Sundays at 4 p.m. with the occasional special Friday show, and it was a show about foreign intrigue based on the true adventure book of the same name by Corey Ford and Alastair McBain. The show featured some tremendous radio vocal talent from what they referred to as New York City's Radio Row. To name just a few, there was Raymond Edward Johnson, from Inner Sanctum, Barry Kruger, Ross Martin, Everett Sloan, Jackson Beck, Martin Balsam, Les Tremaine, Jan Miner, Janice Gilbert, Irene Hubbard, and many, many more. Cloak and Dagger got lost in the summer NBC schedule. It got inserted into what was referred to as a block of mystery shows, but they were of a far inferior quality than Cloak and Dagger. Because of the placement of the show, it never attracted a sponsor and received almost no critical attention. But, as with many similar radio shows, as restoration of old-time radio programs has been done, it was discovered that every show in this series revealed a gripping show, with every story following an unpredictable departure from other shows of the genre. Cloak and Dagger is a story of wartime activities of the Office of Strategic Services, or OSS, the United States' first all-out effort in what was called Black Warfare. Dropping undercover operators behind enemy lines, organizing local partisans to blow up bridges and dynamite tunnels, operating the best spy systems of Europe and Asia during World War II. Each show was a tense half hour of patriots and traitors, of love affairs destroyed by war, of triumph, tragedy, and failure. The stories did not always end with our guys surviving. Sometimes our agents gave up their lives in the struggles to accomplish their missions. The show is transcribed, not performed before a live audience, but that does not take away from the plots, acting, and technical skills that were all in all outstanding. The story you're about to hear in this track is entitled The People in the Forest. At 4 p.m., Robert Scarpella parachutes into occupied France. The underground is being plagued by a traitor in their midst. This story was suggested by actual incidents recorded in the Washington files of the Office of Strategic Services. Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program, now rebroadcasts the Cloak and Dagger episode, The People in the Forest, from June 11th, 1950.
Are you willing to undertake a dangerous mission behind the enemy lines, knowing you may never return alive?
What you have just heard is the question asked during the war to agents of the OSS, ordinary citizens who to this question answered, yes.
This is Cloak and Dagger.
Black warfare, espionage, international intrigue. These are the weapons of the OSS. Today's story, The People in the Forest, is suggested by actual incidents recorded in the Washington files of the Office of Strategic Services. A story that can now be told.
The plane began to slow down, and then it circled slowly. Someone pulled the cover off the jump hole, and I got my first view of France. Occupied France. August 1944.
Action stations.
On the ground to the right, I could see fires like safety matches lit in the moonlight. And I wondered how big they really were, those fires that were out there to guide us in. The dispatcher told me I was to jump second.
Running in. Ready, number one?
Ready.
And then it happened. The first bad break of that mission. Only it didn't happen to me, it happened to Chris Fowler.
See you in France, Capella!
Okay, Fowler.
Number one, good luck. Go!
Geronimo!
I just stood there, looking down, watching him go. And then my heart started to pound all over me, my breath caught, and I nearly choked on it. Chris fell and fell and fell. The chute didn't work. Came out of the bag and streamed unopened behind him. Paratroopers call that a Roman candle.
Tough break. Want to turn back, Scarpella?
Huh? No, I'll jump it.
Okay, then. Ready, number two? Number two, ready?
Ready?
Jump!
The wind came up and hit me in a rush. I felt myself falling. I think I died a few times until I heard the crack of the chute. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. The most beautiful sight in the whole world, that big white umbrella over me. The little safety matches on the ground got bigger and bigger. I realized they were torches. And then I saw a figure of a man waving. He started to get bigger, too. And then the torches were put out. I was about to get my first introduction to the French underground.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
I saw what happened to your friend. It was too bad.
Yeah.
You had courage to jump after that.
Maybe if I'd stopped to think about it, I never would have. Maybe I was afraid I'd never jump again if I didn't then. Well, anyway, here I am. My name is Captain Robert Scarpella.
Captain Robert Scarpella. American. Welcome. Welcome to France. I'm ecstatic to make your acquaintance, Captain.
The little guy threw his arms around me and kissed me. When I was 12, I'd said nix to kissing my father goodnight because it embarrassed me. And here was this little Frenchman with the beret and baggy pants and farmer's shoes with his arms around me.
Hey, cut it out, will you? I'm just so happy to see you, American. Well, I'm the Fox. The Germans themselves gave me that name. Look at this head. Would you believe there is a price on it?
Oh, are you the leader?
Yes, of one of our little bands. The British radio alerted us about your coming.
Well, there's a good reason for my coming, Captain Fox.
You may call me simply Fox.
Okay, Fox.
Now let's pick up supplies that were brought to you.
Right.
As for your mission, Captain... There will be time enough to talk about it when we get deeper into the forest to our hideaway.
Is it very far from here?
Unfortunately, there's a little walk. We were forced to move our headquarters last night after another German raid.
Oh? What do you mean, another?
Our positions have been raided 3 times the past month. Almost as if the Boche were given a map of where we were in the forest.
Oh? Sounds to me like somebody's dirty work.
I have thought of that, Captain. But... if there is a traitor in our group, I shall find him. We know how to deal with such.
I'll bet you do. Oh, here we are.
Oh. That's nice. Very, very, very nice. This Carmen rifle. Beautiful, beautiful.
There are shoes in those packages, too, and food and grenades.
Oh, what a beautiful rifle.
I was to tell you to expect a heavy supply drop in a few weeks.
Oh, what a beautiful rifle. We still are using field pieces from the Franco-Prussian War. But this is a beauty. Now gather up your things, Captain Scarpella. I'll be back in a few minutes. I'll be back.
The fox disappeared into the woods. The whole thing seemed like a crazy nightmare. The whole forest surrounded by Germans. And yet, here I was passing the time of day just like nothing at all with a Frenchman who had a price on his head. And somewhere out there, where he drifted, Chris was a dead heap under a lot of parachute silk. I grabbed a gun, and I waited for trouble. I didn't know whether to go after the fox and take a chance on being ambushed or stay where I was. Someone was coming. I ducked behind a tree. The only thing I could figure was the Germans had seen the plane, seen me land. I took aim.
carefully, slowly.
American. American, where are you?
Oh, for crying out loud, what happened? What were those shots?
I just wanted to get the feel of your gun. So I simply tried it on a couple of Germans over the edge of the hill. It sights very well, though.
Oh, for crying out loud.
This little dinner party is in your honor, Captain Scarpelli.
Oh?
I regret we have nothing better than wild rabbits to offer you.
Well, it's a swell. Quite a welcome. Headquarters didn't tell me to expect anything like this.
Luzette, more wine for the captain.
But of course. Here, I will refill your glass.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, mais non. In France, we say thank you this way.
Hey.
You mind my kissing you?
No, not at all.
I love Americans.
Huh?
All Americans.
Okay.
Come help me. I need your help.
Luzette, let go. Marie's calling you.
Oh, oui, maman, I am coming.
She's a very pretty girl, that...
Luzette. And very young.
Yeah?
Only 17.
Oh?
Already she has seen so much. Hiding like this in the forest, sneaking back into the German-held village.
Into the village?
Oui, monsieur. Many of our group work in the village, right under the noses of the enemy. And the Germans do not know that they are members of the Maquis.
Oh, but they know you're here.
Oh, they know. They know that we're here, but they do not dare come near the forest, except in big raiding parties.
Uh-huh.
They know very well that to one dead of ours, there will be 12 dead of theirs. Well, Captain, now about your mission. Its purpose? Tell me more, please.
Well, I was sent here to find out the German defense plans for the port of San Nazaire and the entire coastal area around here.
Ah.
Now, I know those plans are in German headquarters in the village.
And you request our help?
I've got to have those plans, and in a matter of days. I've got to deliver them personally to 8th Corps headquarters.
Now, put your mind at ease, Captain Scarpelli. The fox will help you. Now, the first thing I will do is put you
Attention! Captain Scarpelli, I'm Marie.
She's the mother cat of that little kitten who kissed you before.
Oh, happy to meet you.
And we are all enchanted to meet you, American. In your honor, we have a special surprise. Listen. Attention. Un, deux, trois.
Take me out to the ball again.
Well,
take me out to the
for crying out loud.
You're pleased, Captain Scarpelli.
Well, this is something to write home about.
Write home about?
Yeah. Yeah, a nice cozy evening with friends. Why, you'd never know there was a war going on.
Nibos!
Nibos! Alerted! Where's the lookout?
There are two several trucks about a kilometer from here, Captain Fox.
I see. What else?
There are two divisions at least of German soldiers surrounding us.
Captain Scarpelli, I regret very much to have interrupted your welcome party in this manner. René?
Oui, Le Fox.
René?
Oui.
The new machine our American friend brought with him.
Oui.
Now, what is it called, Captain Scarpelli?
A bazooka.
Oh, yes, this bazooka. Now, take it to an advantageous position. You understand?
Oui, Fox.
Now, listen.
Yes, now, my friend. Now is the best time for him and some of the others to learn how to use it.
Oh, for crying out loud. If I thought it seemed like a nightmare before, it was nothing to what happened now. It's so mixed up in my mind, I can't remember it clearly. It wasn't anything like the patrols I'd been trained for in the Army.
Now, Captain Scarpelli, follow me, please.
All right.
These Germans are becoming very annoying.
Would you mind pointing that the other way, Fox?
Yes, excuse me. This bazooka is a beauty. Just a little beauty.
From out of nowhere, a German soldier fell forward on his face. And then the fox and I moved on. I remember thinking, cripes, this is like kids playing cops and robbers. French boys, still in their teens, ran by with a cross of Lorraine sewn on their coats. I saw Marie take aim behind a tree.
And all the time, the fox kept smiling. He never stopped smiling.
I feel selfish, Captain Scarpella. Give me that gun. I will let you borrow yours a while. There, about 50 yards ahead, there is a juicy rabbit in German uniform.
Oh?
Please get him.
Captain LaFox was right. The rifle did sight well. And then all of a sudden, there were less Frenchmen around and more Germans all around us.
In a case like this, my friend, the best course is to run. Well, let us run.
This forest is like a jigsaw puzzle to me. You know it backwards.
It is from necessity, of course. I regret exceedingly that I must ask you to join me here in this swamp. We will stay here till it is safe to leave.
Shh, la boche.
Under the water. Leave only your nose above it to breathe.
Ghosts. How can one fight what one cannot see?
I think we have them this time, Herr Hoffman. They are scattered and disorganized. Uh-huh. Perhaps this is the end of our trouble with them.
Relaxed. They have retreated. But those arrogant devils may return again.
Well, we'll find out from our informant later how good a job we have done this time.
Yeah. I'm going up ahead.
Shall I stay here as guard?
No. It is not necessary. There's nothing here. Come better with me.
Yeah, Herr Hoffman.
If they had posted a guard here, it would have been most inconvenient, Captain Scarpella. Are you very wet?
What do you think?
Well, there'll be clean clothes for you at our hideout. Come. It is time for us to go there. Well, this has been a very annoying evening,
Fox. Fox, did you hear what they said about...
An informant. I heard. Captain Scarpella, Marie is employed as charwoman in German headquarters in the village. She is the contact of whom I spoke.
Uh-huh.
What can I do to help you? Just tell me.
There are plans for the defense of Saint-Nazaire. What do you think the chances are that they may be in the files of the office where you work, Marie?
Very good, I would say.
Marie, tell me, what are my chances of getting into those files?
Also very good.
Mm-hmm.
The door of the Hauptmann's office is left open for me, so I may wash the floors.
I see.
It will be easy to enter. As for the files, I have a key.
A key?
Wait. I will give it to you.
Well, this is better than I hoped for. When can we go, tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Why not now? The Germans are still out searching the forest, and the coast will be clear. Let us leave now.
Well, for...
I'll say it for you, Captain Scarpella. For crying out loud.
Less than an hour later, we were in the village. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, and there was no one around. The village slept.
Captain Scarpella, listen to me.
Yeah.
There is the German headquarters across the street.
Mm-hmm.
I will leave you and go inside to get my mop and bucket. You will watch through the window.
Right.
When I distract the guard, go quickly to the side door. It is open.
Uh-huh.
The Hauptmann's office is the third door from the end.
Third, huh?
You have the key to the files, huh?
Yes, I have it.
Bo, I go now. Remember the signal I give you in case of danger.
I watched her go into the building. And then I took up my position at the open window. There was a guard at the front desk. No one else around. I pressed myself into the shadows. And after a while, Marie came to the front desk and began to mop the floor.
How are you doing here, Charlie?
I'm not that early, Sergeant. And the sooner I finish, the sooner I am through.
Now go about your business, then.
I knew that soon she'd do something to distract him.
You're disturbing me.
This too must be washed, Noah. I will be through presently.
Ah, fine. Come on, there. You spilled that all over my boots.
No. I'm so sorry. It was not deliberate.
All over my boots. Look at the mess.
The side door was open and she said it would be.
Sorry for this.
One, two, three. The third door from the end.
I'll open the other end of the room.
I made it. The German captain's office. And in the corner were the files. The key in my hand was hot and sticky. It fit. It fit. The key fit. I knew it would, but somehow when it slid in and turned, I took a breath of relief. I didn't have much time. I knew it didn't have much time. I had to find those plans, but where? The papers, where were they? And I heard Marie's signal, and I froze.
Morgan.
Morgan, how about
you? What a break. But I couldn't stop searching now. Where are they? Almost as if God had put it into my hand at the right moment, I found the photostatic copies of the defense plans. Now, if she could only hold them off until I got out of the place. Let's see now, let's see. The window, that's it. It was only a short drop to the ground and still no one in sight. I had a feeling Marie could take care of herself, and I started back for the forest, the plans in my pocket.
Now, see here, Captain Scarpella. I'm the man. Mm-hmm. You see? You come out of the forest 3 miles north at this point.
Right. Is that a clear road, Fox?
You will have no difficulty, Captain. There has never been any reason for the Boche to post guards at this exit. Now pay attention, Captain. Yeah.
I must talk to you, both of you.
Marie, what are you doing back at the farmhouse? Why are you not in the village?
Marie, was there trouble after I left through that window? Do they know about the papers?
They know, because they were told. Told by a dirty little spy from our own ranks.
What?
Now, please, quiet. This is my business, Captain. Speak, Marie.
I overheard the spy. One of us. I blush with shame to think of it. The spy was telling the Boche captain about the papers and the American's mission. Fortunately for you, Captain Scarpella, the spy was not able to warn him early enough.
Go on, Marie, go on.
And the road is blocked, however. You are trapped here, American. You may have the plans, but there is no way for you to leave and deliver them. The road north is swarming with red ants of Germans.
The traitor. His name. Give me his name, Marie.
I will do better. I will give you the traitor. René, bring her in here.
No, please.
Throw her on the
floor. On the floor.
Get me with her once.
I said throw her on the floor.
No.
Listen to her sob, my own daughter, torn from my own flesh. For my daughter, not for what is going to be done to you, but for what you have done, spy, traitor. This girl, my daughter, I spit on her.
I did not know.
I waited for her outside.
What I was doing.
After I heard her with her captain, her German captain, I waited for her and dragged her back here. Fox, do what you want with her.
Lozette.
No.
Lozette, look at me.
No.
Was it you? You who gave away our positions each time? Answer.
Yes, I told them. It has been so hard. I have known war for so long now. All my life, it seems.
I have known 2 wars. Would I turn on my own? I'm glad your father is dead, so he does not see this.
They promised me so much. I did not think it so bad. I only gave them small bits of information.
Small bits of information?
Except for this last about the Americans.
You call giving away our hideout small, Lucette?
We are so much smarter than they. And it always gave us a chance to kill so many of them.
Your excuses disgust me. Say the word, Fox. Let me throw her to the rest.
No, Mama. Pity.
I am your mother no longer. Do not call me that.
Now, wait a minute. Listen to me.
Fox, this may be your affair, but I've got a stake in it.
Now, what do you wish to say, Captain?
There's only one way out of this forest. It's blocked right now.
Thanks to her.
Now, let's forget that. All that matters to me is that I get through with these plans. Now, Lizette. Lizette, do you want a chance to prove yourself?
Oh, oui, oui, I will do anything.
Do not listen to her,
Marie,
Captain.
Marie.
Two faces she has.
Now, quiet. Go on, Captain.
Now, at German headquarters before, Marie distracted the guard because she knew him. Now, who knows the Germans at the exit to the forest to distract them?
I do. I will. Let me, please. They trust me. I will give you a chance to slip by.
It is too great a risk, my friend.
I have no choice. I can't stay trapped here. The plans are no good in my pocket.
Very well. On one condition. I will go alone. And if she does not do as she says, the fox will shoot her through the heart.
You have my permission.
There are many clouds out tonight to hide the moon.
Well, the darker the better.
Lizette, there are your friends at the foot of the hill. Go to them. We will hide here among these piles of firewood.
Oui. Oui, I will go.
And remember, Lizette, this gun is aimed at you. Go.
We hid behind towering cords of tree trunks and branches piled in the woodlot for the village's firewood. We watched. A few minutes later, we saw them. The soldiers and the girl, silhouetted against the moon. We couldn't hear what they were saying, but every once in a while, we heard them laugh.
They swarm about her like bees about a flower. Come this way. We will sneak past them and into the brush.
She's doing a good job trying to redeem herself.
And the stupid American is completely trapped with no way out.
You are a sly one, Lucette. You were sehr klug.
Sure. Oh. Sly, too. The Hauptmann did not make a mistake with you, no?
There are advantages to being an officer, eh?
Hey, my sword.
Oh, we're caught.
Into the brush.
I looked back over my shoulder and saw Lizette crumple into a heap on the road. I knew she was dead.
Do not grieve for her, my friend. It is best this way. It is easier than living with herself.
How do we get out of this? We're surrounded.
You're surrounded, American. Surrender.
Surrender. What means that word?
We know you are in Deadwood, not. We have you cornered. Come out.
Perhaps this will help, Kelvincho. Popper, over there. Set fire to the bush. Come on, you do the same.
They're trying to burn us out. If we come out, we'll be shot down by the machine guns.
American, I have an idea.
Yeah.
Stand here. When you hear a loud crash and I call out, you run through the fire. It is not bed yet, my friend.
He ran, like the fox of his nickname, to the tallest pile of firewood. In the dark night, I saw him struggle with a log at the base of the pile, and then the huge tower of wood came tumbling down and screamed. Ah! I plunged through the fire and found the pass. And a few minutes later, the sly fox miraculously joined me.
You can make it from here alone to the American lines, Captain Scarpelli.
What about you, Fox?
Don't worry about the Fox. I'll get back all right. Perhaps we shall meet again one day, Captain. Who knows? Well, au revoir, then. Goodbye.
I never looked back. And I never saw him again. But when I think of him now, I think of him not with a beret, but with a green hat and a feather. A little like Robin Hood.
Captain Scarpella delivered the plans personally to the assistant G2 at 8th Corps headquarters, and he was recommended for the Distinguished Service Cross for the American lives he had saved at the port of Saint-Nazaire. Thus, the exploits of another OSS agent closes with the words,
"Mission accomplished."
A further adventure in black warfare is next week's
Cloak and Dagger.
In today's Cloak and Dagger adventure were Joseph Buloff, Lily Darvas, Larry Haynes, Nancy Franklin, Barry Kroger, Raymond Edward Johnson, Carl Weber, Boris Aplin, and Jerry Jarrett. Script for Cloak and Dagger was written by Winifred Wolfe, and the music was under the direction of John Gart. Today's true OSS adventure was based on the book Cloak and Dagger, by Corey Ford and Alistair McBain. This has been a Lewis G. Cowan production in association with Alfred Hollander. It was under the direction and supervision of Sherman Marks. Robert Warren speaking.
And that concludes this soundtrack on Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program with yours truly, John Lovering. This podcast originates on SoundCloud.com, but it can also be heard on TuneIn, iTunes, Google Play Music, Podbean, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. Just search their podcast list for Heirloom Radio. That's H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M Radio. Be sure to check out my ever-growing list of radio programming from every genre, from mysteries and musicals to quiz shows and comedy, and everything in between. Please tell your friends about Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program, and I do thank you for listening. Until next time, stay safe and be well.